And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this finally Friday, May 16th, 1:06 in the afternoon. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our talented Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. Bridget, can you hear the crops saying, that felt so good with all of the rain?
They can, and they're going to be happy, but let's not overdo things, right? Let's make sure everybody gets what they need.
Right.
And then let's look into next week, because we don't need to drown out.
No, we don't. No. And we've picked up about almost a half inch here at the studio. There's areas out in the western part of the state. Boy, I'll tell you that from, let's just say, west of Bismarck, that whole part of the state picked up 2 to 4 inches of rainfall. So some much, much needed rain for our crops and just everybody in general out to the west. In the eastern third of the state, we've picked up about a half inch, to some spots about an inch. And we have more rain right now on radar. In fact, some light showers continue up and down the valley here, and some steadier rain showers also out and around the Devil's Lake Basin. Those will continue to rotate around that low pressure system, which will be exiting to the east. So additional rainfall here in the FM area up and down the valley, probably about another tenth, maybe 0.2 inches before this winds down as we head into later tonight. And then, yeah, we have to use the F word. We're looking at frost potential as we head into Sunday morning as skies clear out Saturday night, where temperatures dipping down to about 33. Pick day of the weekend is going to be Sunday with sunshine and temperatures around 60. Now, you mentioned next week, Bridget, because there will be another storm system that rides to our south, it looks like, for next week, mainly affecting South Dakota, southern Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, those areas will be picking up quite a bit of rain and possibly severe weather. We'll get a glancing blow with some light showers from that Monday and Tuesday, but doesn't look like a lot. And most of that's along and south of the 94 corridor. So we got what we got in terms of rain. There's not a whole lot more in the forecast, so hopefully your area got exactly what you're hoping for. I know some areas got missed out on some of the heavier amounts, but hey, at this point, we'll take what we can get. And it's been very, very dry around here.
It has been, and folks are very happy to see what they can get. And so also, I'm very happy to see, well, I'm glad to see one of our guests joined us in the studio today. And that is Captain Brian. Help me if I get this right. Is it Niewind?
It's Niewind.
Niewind, Captain Brian Niewind. He's with the Highway Patrol here in North Dakota. Thank you, because I have had lots of questions that pertain to farm equipment and so forth and all the rules and regulations. So can I just start by asking, let's put this one to bed right now, whether or not you can actually drive a tractor, a combine, whatever, on either a state highway or an interstate highway, because that's probably the one I get asked the most is, can you do it? No, you can't. So what's the answer?
The answer in North Dakota is you can. We do not have a minimum speed limit in North Dakota on any of our roadways. That includes our township, county, state, federal, and interstate system. So you can use those implements of husbandry on any roadway in North Dakota, even the interstate system.
Even the interstate
wow. system. If you go into South Dakota, you get into Minnesota, they do have some minimum speed limits in those states. So those implements of husbandry, a tractor, a combine, are not going to be able to meet those minimum speeds, so they cannot be utilized on those roadways. But in North Dakota, we do not have that minimum speed, so they can be operated. What we'd suggest people to do is if you can avoid the interstate, stay off of the interstate. But obviously, there are places in North Dakota where you just have to utilize the interstate to get from one field to another. If you're going to do that, just mm-hmm. be as safe as possible. Have all those lights flashing on your tractors or combines. I would suggest not driving at night on the interstate system just because of the increased danger out there. So, but you are able to operate out there as long as you're properly lit on those mm-hmm. roadways.
Can you be fined as a farmer if you're not? Let's say you're on the interstate, even in broad daylight, but you don't have your flashing warning lights and so forth operating, or you're missing a slow-moving vehicle sign. Is that a fineable offense?
So the lighting requirements are only for sunset to sunrise. You okay. don't have to have the lights on during the day because obviously you can see. If you are moving at that 25 miles per hour or less, you do have to have that slow-moving triangle displayed on the rear uh-huh. of your tractor, if it's just, or a combine, if you're operating that, or in that rear piece of equipment, that you're operating on those roadways if you're traveling underneath the 25 miles per hour.
Okay, so some of the other questions that I have gotten as well, and please, if there are things that you think of that you want to make sure, whether on the passenger vehicle side or the farmer operator side, they need to know. We want to hear those things as well. And folks who are listening who have questions can certainly call in. You can reach us on the JLA insurance phone line, 701-293-9000, as we visit with Captain Nywin with North Dakota Highway Patrol. Is there a rule? So, for instance, let's say I'm farming. I am pulling a cultivator or something that's rather oversized down a state highway or a county road. Often state and county plows during the winter months will pull over every so often and let traffic around. Is there any type of rule that is on state law, or is it just a courtesy that we should make sure that we're doing that for other passenger vehicles?
So there is no law that requires implements of husbandry to pull over periodically. It is just a common courtesy that it does take place out there. I think everybody needs to understand during our spring and our fall time frames here in North Dakota that we all have to share the road together. And that takes all of us, whether that's somebody driving a passenger car, if I'm hauling seed to the field or fertilizer, if I'm driving that tractor or that combine in the fall down that roadway, is just being courteous, you know, being courteous to each other, being patient. What we tell people is that if you're following a large piece of equipment, is just give that operator an opportunity to pull over for you so you can safely pass. Because if you think about the equipment nowadays that's running up and down our highways, it's big equipment. It's really hard to see around. If you want to try and pass a vehicle, you actually have to get into the other lane to be able to see around that a lot of times. And it's not safe to do. Mm-hmm. So just give that operator of that equipment the opportunity to pull over where it's safe. If you think about you're driving down like a gravel road, you're driving down a state highway, a county road, there's an approach every 1,000 feet, maybe sometimes a little bit further, sometimes a little bit sooner. And those are the best opportunities for those large pieces of equipment to pull over, is where those approaches are, because it gives them a little extra room to pull off of that road versus some of those steep ditches that are out there, which can be very difficult to navigate if you're trying to pull over that big piece of equipment and you're dropping tires down into those ditches.
Oh, you're right. And if we've got some very narrow roadways or shoulders anyway in some places, and that wet years, you can see the whole ditch give away from you, and then it becomes dangerous for everybody.
It does.
We have an even bigger problem on our hands.
Yeah, I mean, we've had cases where, you know, tractors, combines, whatever else gets stuck, right? And all of a sudden we have a blockage of a roadway, which creates even a bigger hazard. We had one this spring up just north of Castleton on Highway 18. We were out there for like 6 hours when a piece of equipment came dislodged from a tractor hauling it, and it took a while to get that removed.
It does.
And Captain Ewan, are there a lot of accidents this time of the year in regards to farm equipment? Because, I mean, it's planting season. You got planting season and harvest season. Are there increased amounts of accidents during those time periods typically, or not really?
I would say we don't have an increase in those crashes. Obviously, though, there's those time frames, there's more of that equipment operating on the roadway. So when we have a crash, a lot of times it's a more high profile crash.
Okay.
You know, anytime somebody strikes a large piece of equipment, let's say there's somebody hauling a digger down there, a cultivator down the roadway, right? There's lots of sharp angles on those things. And if somebody strikes that, that's going to be a pretty serious crash. So when we have them, they become high profile incidents. But I would say we don't have a lot of those types of crashes. I think
good
for us here in North Dakota, for most of our citizens, right? People not traveling through our state, they're used to this type of traffic. And again, we don't see these large implements on the interstate a lot. So that's a lot of times where we have crashes when we talk about our agency, especially in the Fargo, the southeast part of the state. It's majority of our crashes are occurring on our interstate system. And we're not seeing those types of crashes occurring on the interstate system. And you think about like in the valley here as well, the sugar beet harvest. Again, we have millions of loads of sugar beets that are being hauled every fall. And we have a very small amount of those that are involved in crashes. So is there an increase in crashes? I would say yes, because there's just more of those vehicles on the roadway, but we don't have an increase of crashes because of that.
Good. That's good. Sure. And you know, for people that aren't around here, if they're traveling through, it's basically just pack your patience. If you get behind, you know, a large farm vehicle, just be patient. They they can only go so fast. So
yeah, the biggest thing is just get rid of those distractions while you're driving. Cause you know, number one is you want to be able to see all those hazards up ahead of you. So that whether that's a large truck that's hauling seed or corn out of a field, that's, you know, slowly merging onto the roadway. You want to be able to see that hazard up ahead of you. Or if it's that large piece of equipment that's driving, you're going 65 miles per hour and it's going 20 miles per hour down the road, you're going to be upon that vehicle very, very fast. So when you get rid of those distractions, you're paying attention to the roadway and you can react to them a lot faster than if you are distracted while you're driving. And a lot of times when we have these types of crashes, it's deceiving for people when they're driving down the road when we have those large discrepancies in speeds. That's why those crashes happen. But a lot of times it's because the people are distracted.
Yeah, so put your phone. See, when Bridget and I grew up, we just had 8 tracks and no phones. We didn't have to worry about any distractions. We were lucky.
I don't know. I had a CB radio. Yeah. So, Captain, one of the other questions that I wanted to make sure we address today comes with road weight limits. As a kid growing up in South Central North Dakota, Dad always told us when we were hauling grain in the spring off of a bend site, you know, that the road limits were on. He had already planned to overload our trucks. And if we got stopped as kids driving the truck, just cry. That should make it better. No, that doesn't. Number one. Number two, there's a reason for those weight limits. And do we still have that on and off type of the part of the seasons with them?
We do. We still, across North Dakota, we have spring load restrictions that occur on all of our roadways except for our interstate system here in North Dakota. So the interstate system, there's not going to be a load restriction on, but every other roadway that we have, there's going to be load restrictions, whether it's a township road, it's a county road, city streets even have them in the cities that we kind of talk about, our state and federal highways as well. For the state and federal highways, the North Dakota DOT has a travel information map. There's an app. It's called North Dakota Roads. You can put onto your phone. And as those load restrictions come on and they go off, you can see those load restrictions on that map. You can see it live, of what those conditions are at that point in time. You can also see the future, like the next week, what they're going to be, because DOT is announcing those things before they change. So, you know, a load restriction is not just going to come on at 8 o'clock this morning without DOT notifying the public beforehand that load restriction is coming on. So there's a lot of good tools on that North Dakota roads site for those state and federal highways in North Dakota. When we talk about local roads, you know, each county and city is a little bit different on how they announce those. A lot of them do on their web pages will have those load restrictions listed onto their web pages. They're also announcing that to the public through media releases, probably their social media pages as well, to let the public know what those are. So again, every local township and county and city can set their own load restrictions on their roadways. And the state is the one that does the ones for the state and federal highways. And those usually come on end of February. They usually start like the southwest part of the state. If you think about how weather travels through North Dakota and how things warm up, it usually warms up out west first before it does out east here. So they usually come on the southwest part of the state and they work their way east. And then as they go off, it works the same way. They'll go off in the southwest first. And currently right now, there still are some load restrictions on up in the northeast part of the state of North Dakota. Because again, just that's how the weather and thawing and stuff works. And those load restrictions are on for a very important reason, is because if you think about, why don't we go into our fields right when all the snow is gone and it's starting to thaw? Well, it's because those roadbeds, just like those fields are, they're soft, they give way, and the roads are the same way. So we need to reduce the amount of weights on those so we don't damage the roads.
And, Brian, we've got a call on caller on line one with a question. Al, you've got a question for Brian?
Yeah. So I noticed some jurisdictions there, they won't put the weight limit on there. They'll just give you a phone number. You got to call the phone number before you know what's on the what kind of weight restriction it is, especially out by Horace or Harwood area, you know, County 17.
Yeah, I can't speak for the local ordinances that they maybe have, like in a city or something like that. I know driving around, like in the counties and our state highway systems, they are posted with signage. And once that signage is up, that roadway is legally posted, and that's what the limits are on for that roadway. So it does have to be legally posted in North Dakota for that load restriction to be enforceable. So if you drive around even the city of Fargo, you'll see at different intersections, they'll have the load limits for those roadways during the spring load restrictions. Same thing on the county roads, township roads, and on the state highways. And again, when we get down to like that township level, I'm not sure exactly how they have to do things for their township level.
Yeah, and then I also notice the shoulders are really, really soft now. So I notice on the highway a lot of trucks are pulling off or going down.
Yeah, that's one of the problems we have during the spring right now is you'll see the roads rutted up, especially off of the shoulders, because it is so soft. And again, if you think about the only thing that's stopping you from sinking into the road that you're driving on is the concrete or the asphalt that's on there. That road bed underneath that is just as soft as those shoulders are. And you're floating on top of that basically because of that hard compacted either asphalt, concrete, or that gravel that might be on that roadway. Because those roads are soft underneath, and we need to reduce those weights at this time of year so we don't destroy those roadbeds.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you, Captain, so much for coming in today to join us and answer questions. I know you have a busy day and you fit us in, but thank you for doing that. And as I get more questions, now I know who to ask.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Brian. All right, when we come back, we'll take a quick peek at the weather. I know Bridget's got some ag topics, and we've got another guest coming on. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And we're going to take a look at some rainfall totals across the area. Taking a look at our NDON site. And, boy, I'll tell you what. Like I said earlier, many of us picked up about a half inch of rain. There were some slightly higher totals around the area. Parts of the Northern Valley up around Grand Forks picked up about an inch and a quarter. But most everybody else right around that half inch mark, about three quarters, seven tenths out around the Wahpeton area. If you go down into Lakes Country, out around Otter Tail, DL, anywhere between a half inch and three quarters. And then as you go out west, boy, oh boy, from Kazumtite, from Jamestown westward up through, let's say, Dickinson, up into the Williston area, Watford City, anywhere between 2 to 5 inches of rain out to the west. I know that northwestern corner of the state, Bridget, was under severe drought, and those areas picked up between 2 to 3 inches of rain. So great news for our farmers, maybe a little bit too much of a good thing with some of those 4 and 5 inch reports out to our west. But regardless, some much, much needed rain. And again, a general half inch to an inch here in the up and down the valley and in the Lakes Country. So not as I would have liked to seen a little bit more here in the valley and Lakes Country, but again, we'll take every little bit we can get because there's not a whole lot in the forecast for next week. That system on Monday, Tuesday, that's mainly going to be south, and then our next chance of rain would hold off until Memorial Day weekend, and even that looks scattered. So this will probably be our last chance of any really organized rain across the area for probably about a 10-day stretch, it looks like.
Well, we'll see what next week brings at this point. But, yeah, it's happy to have what we got. Maybe not quite as fast and hard-packing rain as we got yesterday would be nice. There are some areas that really took on their rainfall pretty quickly. And again, we always want to be a little careful. We've got newly emerged soybeans. You can get that splashback on the leaves from some of the pre-emergent herbicides that can, from time to time, give us a little bit of cause for cosmetic concern on the plants, et cetera. But they should turn around and be in better shape before too terribly long. Now, something that we have going to take away from the weather here for just a moment, but the National FFA organization says that recent legislation introduced federally could indeed provide more funding not only to them, but the 4-H and Scouts. So the Youth Lead Act is designed to provide funding to introduce agriculture to students. It is a bipartisanship legislation being supported out of Nebraska and Illinois, and it would allow the Ag Secretary to provide grants to support operations, again, of FFA, 4-H, as well as the Scouts. And it's authorizing about $5 million annually from 2024 to 2028. And I'll be honest, in the waves of governmental spending, $5 million annually, kind of a small deal. It's like buying your kid a candy bar at Disneyland. That's just one small piece of it. Nonetheless, this will help teachers with additional professional development. It can also bring more curriculum and equipment into classrooms to help students in ways that would bring them more interest in agriculture, sharpen those skills that they will need to get them involved in ag, and so much more. So this is certainly a federal investment that would really look at the critical work being done for young people and the skills that we need. When we think about agriculture, it's not just talking about production farming and livestock. It is also bringing students in more skilled areas like food processing, agri-sciences, and more. So we want to look forward to what that might be. We hope everyone is enjoying their afternoon. Hopefully you're even watching us on our Facebook page or on YouTube. You can find us there, WDAY Weather and Ag in Focus. We're also on Acres TV. And if you haven't done your free subscription yet, please do. It is the Netflix of agriculture. We want to touch on our bottom of the hour news and just give you the reminder that technology, well, it's really supposed to help your farm and ranch run much, much smoother. No stress for you. And one way to make sure you don't have that stress is talking to Chris Sherman at Tech Support Farm, because he's going to make sure that your systems are not being compromised, whether it's in the office, in the shop, or in the tractor. Give him a call. And we'll be right back after the news. Well, this rainfall is fabulous for our Here We Grow project. 20 acres of wheat growing in Gardner Township here in Cass County. And one of the folks that's part of that project is Peterson Farm Seed. Thanks to those folks for supplying us with wheat seed. And soon we'll be doing our video with them to explain what the difference is, why we're not raising this just to haul into the elevator as a cash crop, why we're talking about commercial wheat and commercial seed this year for something different. So we'll be getting to all that. But stay tuned, and again, thanks to Peterson Farm Seed. Today in studio, as the guests continue, we're going to be joined with Stetson and Andrew. They're with Grand Farm. Gentlemen, how are you today?
We're doing great.
Thanks for having us, Bridget.
Absolutely.
And Dean. All right. Well, so, yeah, what am I, chopped liver over here? Come on, guys.
You have some things coming up, you might say, in June. And Ag Tech Week is a big part of what happens in Fargo. This is going to be starting in June 10th with the Midwest Ag Summit. And then we're going to move forward through Bushel's Buddy Seed Conference and then right into Cultivate. So, gentlemen, Cultivate is your baby. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Cultivate is a really fun event for us. It's our signature conference at Grand Farm, trying to bring about 500 folks together in the ag tech industry, really around identifying what the region's challenges are and then exciting the folks that are researching, starting up, or really the companies in that space to try and solve those challenges or put efforts into solving those challenges. It's a lot of fun.
What would you say is, what's the biggest challenge that's out there right now?
Yeah, so we've actually been, over the last few months, our team over at Grand Farm has been working on creating a project or in a report called the Regional Agriculture Pain Point Report. So we've surveyed commodity councils and grower associations. We have our 10-member grower advisory board at Grand Farm, and we've been working diligently with those folks to really create out this really strong report. And our top four priorities that we found for this region, so that's the Dakotas and Minnesota, is pest management, agricultural equipment development, soil health, and then site-specific crop management. So our biggest one is going to be that pest management, herbicide-resistant weeds, crop scouting, and all of those different challenges that go on. There's going to be a lot of attention right there. Those are big challenges for farmers and ranchers.
Hmm. So do we have, what are we going to do differently for pest management? You know, what are you looking at as far as opportunities to try to make some improvements there, because resistance certainly isn't new. We certainly have a lot of practices that can help us with it, but what are some things that you might be seeing?
Yeah, really the things what we're looking for is just to add tools to the toolbox for farmers and ranchers. You know, we've had a fun project at Grand Farm over the last year where we're looking at identifying Palmer amaranth with a drone and using artificial intelligence to make kind of really hot, you know, these heat maps for where the weeds are. That is really the type of work that we would like to see to give farmers a more comprehensive overview and a lot more data to make their decisions on whether that's pest management for herbicide-resistant weeds or disease timing, fungicide applications. That's the type of work I think we're really hoping to see, but ideas can come from anywhere and look like anything, so we're just hoping for folks to get excited about the challenges and want to solve the work.
So let's talk specifically about Cultivate. Again, this will be on June 12th and not being held at the farm. So to give us the details of what that agenda looks like.
Yeah, I'll bounce it over to Andrew here.
Yeah, so we're really excited. Again, we'll have about 500 people joining us from around the world that are coming in to learn about the challenges our region are facing and look, explore opportunities to solve that. So we'll be at the Fargo Civic Center. Again, this is kind of in joint collaboration with our friends at the Chamber in Bushell. So we have our Ag Tech Week going on there. So Civic Center is going to be kind of the home base for that. So Wednesday night, we're going to have a big shindig with the Chamber and Bushell downtown at the Civic Center. And then Thursday, we'll have an all-day conference, kind of some keynotes, main stage content. So Brian Hefty will be there talking about soil health opportunities. That's not just no-till. We will have leadership from AGI, kind of a lot of senior leaderships, a lot of startups from around the world. And then in the afternoon, we're going to have some really interactive workshops that maybe Stetson, you can talk a little bit about.
Yeah, and I think Bridget might know a thing or two because Bridget is actually one of our workshop hosts for Cultivate this year.
Hey, Dean, I'm gone that day. Just heads up.
Yeah, right? I think this will count as an official notice, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, right.
Yeah, it's on the air. So. No, it's so those four workshops are actually coinciding with our four regional priorities. So Bridget's leading our site-specific crop management, or we've kind of dubbed it our precision ag panel. But really, you know, those folks that are going to be on those are going to be a mix of both the folks that are experiencing the challenges, so farmers, researchers in the area, NDSU extension folks, as well as folks that can potentially solve it. And it's really going to be a really fun dialogue on trying to find these ideas that are existing, whether that's in the attendees' minds or our speakers' minds, and just bring them up to the surface and talk through them. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And Bridget, I do got to say that we do have an opportunity for folks to get out to Grand Farm because I know there's still quite a few people that haven't been out there. So maybe, Stetson, you want to make a quick plug for the Wednesday Field Day?
Yeah, so as part of Ag Tech Week, we're hosting not just the three large events, but there's probably about 30-plus events already planned to take place in and around the Fargo area. And one of those is our Grand Farm Field Day. So it's one of three that we'll be hosting this year. We'll have one at Cultivate and Ag Tech Week. We'll have one in the middle of the season for projects. And then we'll have one at the end of the season for kind of a harvest and a wrap-up kind of an event. But the one during June is really going to be a fun spot to see some of the new technologies that are coming out. We've got some sensor companies that are going to be displaying their sensors and actually deploying them in the field so farmers can actually get up close. There's not really any tires to kick on a sensor, but I'm sure they'll find something. And then a lot of some really cool other ag technologies that are going to be out there and showing off what's going on.
What's the biggest breakthrough that you've seen over the last, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years in the ag community?
Well, I think honestly, you know, and this is more of a farmer adjacent challenge, but think about how transportation and logistics in this state has really always been a struggle. You know, everything in North Dakota has got to be either trucked out or railed out of the state when we talk about our ag commodities. So we actually did a project with Kratos Defense, a defense contractor down in Florida, and then MNDAC Farmers Cooperative down in Wahpeton, to get them set up with the potential to do leader-follower autonomous trucking, going from the sugar beet piles to their actual sugar beet plant. We played a key role in bringing those conversations together. And since they've launched that project here, I think about a year and a half, 18 months ago, they've actually logged about 100,000 miles autonomously. Wow. With a leader follower truck. They still got somebody in that back truck. So right. If you're out there on, I think usually Highway 18, I think is one of their bigger routes. If you're out on that highway and you see those, don't worry, there's somebody in there. But yeah. I mean, in the future, solving a labor challenge that really exists for finding CDL truck drivers, finding qualified folks, because those jobs are in great demand and there's not a lot of folks applying. So that was one of the more fun projects that we get to tell the story about.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You got to love technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That truck project has been going on for a bit now. And I think when you said Highway 81 or 18, I think you meant Highway 81 on the east side of the interstate, because that's where MNDAC sits north of Wahpeton, and they've got their piler sites and so forth. So they've been doing. Yeah. We're not just transporting sugar beets from, let's say, Brookings to Fargo, right? It's not that long of a stretch. We're in a short stretch. And like you said, the leader follower matters, because we do have some folks who are still a little concerned about, you know, are they safe? What if there's something rogue that happens? And I don't think any of us can answer that question yet, but we certainly have to pay attention to it. I just had an example here on Twitter a couple hours ago where during the solar flares, Dean, solar flares.
Yep.
I farmer's grain cart, they drove over the end of their header, their 50-foot draper header on their X9 combine because the solar flares interrupted the software system. So we got to be careful with those things,
for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
We know they're there. We know they're good. Okay, so cultivate for Grand Farm, all of the things. We're going to need to know, do we have to register? What are our times? Where are we parking? All those types of things, guys.
Yeah, so the Civic Center is, of course, right in the heart of downtown Fargo. So parking is a little interesting, but there's plenty of parking garages down there. And then registration, we do have, this is a ticketed event, but special for your listeners and the folks today, we actually have a promo code for 10% off a ticket to Cultivate. So if you just use the code WAG at our Grand Farm website, grandfarm.com/cultivate, you'll actually get 10% off your ticket. So you can just use that code WAG to get yourself registered there. And then it's in a full day event. So the registration starts at about 8 o'clock that morning. We'll have a social that wraps up about 5:30. There's usually the after socials that wrap up anywhere
open
in
bar?
The evening. maybe an open bar. You'll have to come out and find out for yourself.
Okay. And what's the date on that again?
That'll be June the 12th.
Okay. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And then also, what about the field day? Because if people want to go out on the 11th, what's the situation there?
Yeah, so that is open and free and open to the public. Anyone can attend that event. Anyone is encouraged to attend that event. It'll start at about 1:30 in the afternoon and wrap up around 4. So,
and when you said that about parking, that's at the farm. Yes. When you said that about parking, just so people know, downtown the Robert Street parking lot is better suited for full size pickups.
100%.
You don't even have to ask me how I know. That's how I know.
Speaking from experience.
The one over by attached to the Radisson Blue, not bad. The one to the west of that, don't go there. That's tough. That's tight.
Yeah.
That makes your body man.
We had a very large pickup here in 2023 for Grand Farm, and we parked it in the Civic Center ramp overnight, and we got ourselves blocked in there for about a day and a half, and we're like, yep, we're going to find a different parking garage when we're parking the truck downtown.
Yeah, makes total sense. All right. So, gentlemen, we greatly appreciate you having the opportunity to come in. If folks want to follow along, even post-Cultivate and post-Field Day, where should they be able to find you?
Yeah, maybe I'll go first. First, again, this is the Ag Tech Week. It's kind of a joint partnership, so I encourage all the information is at agtechweekfargo.com. And then, we have a pretty strong marketing channel, so follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, X, Facebook, all of those, and then also grandfarm.com. And we invite you to come out to any of our events that you'll see on grandfarm.com. And then if anybody's interested in just doing some tours, kind of ad hoc, just reach out to us, and we're always happy to meet people out there.
Exactly.
All right, guys.
Well, I was waiting. I thought Stetson had another side of it because Andrew said I'll go first.
I think that's just my face, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're good.
Well, guys, thanks for coming out. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the weekend, what the weather looks like. Is it going to be like this, what we have outside, or will it improve? We'll have those answers and touch on a couple of ag topics when we come back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus, 1:52 in the afternoon. Temperatures across the area are generally in the 40s, but the whole central part of the state, temperatures in the mid to upper 30s right now. Yikes, it does not feel like we're going into that third week in May, but lo and behold, we've got it. A very chilly air mass kind of parked over the area with the periods of drizzle and light rain continue to rotate around that area of low pressure, which is scooting off into Minnesota. And we'll see the effects from that through the rest of today with some light rain and drizzle from time to time. Not much additional accumulation, about a tenth of an inch if that. And then we'll see that rain come to an end overnight tonight. No worries of frost tonight. We'll have the cloud cover, the winds will be up, and we'll be about 36 or so. But tomorrow, we'll start off with cloudy skies, but by evening, we'll start to see breaks in the clouds with temperatures kind of chilly tomorrow, statewide in the 40s, except the far west. And then as we head into tomorrow night, that's when we will see, it looks like, a pretty good chance for frost across the area as our models are coming in a degree or two colder than they were yesterday. Now, do I think we're going to dip down to the point where we have freezing conditions, boy, I don't. We're not going to be there long enough. We are more likely to have a frost potential with temperatures dipping down to about 33. Some of those lower lying areas on Sunday morning could briefly dip down to about 31, 32, but it wouldn't be for more than an hour. And then temperatures will warm back up pretty quickly on Sunday. And then our next weather maker early next week, that looks to pass to our south. Could skim areas of the far southern part of the state here with some light rain Monday and Tuesday. But other than that, I think the majority of that is going to be down to our south. And temperatures all next week generally in the 50s, upper 50s to mid upper 60s by the end of next week. So not too bad a weather. We received some much needed rainfall, and now we'll dry things out for a little bit with really no organized areas of rain until even Memorial Day weekend, when we have these weak weather systems moving through. Nothing too organized, but I think after Memorial Day weekend, that's when we'll start to see a couple more storms possibly come into the area.
You know, we've had folks ask, what's the situation with potential cold temperatures this weekend? Will that affect crop that is up? And wheat's going to be fine. It can withstand quite cold temperatures. Overall, our ground is still very warm. I realize it's cooling off, et cetera, but our ground's very warm. And as you said, Dean, if we actually got below 32 degrees, it's going to be for a short period, not an extended period. If we had hours of freezing temperatures, then I'd be concerned about any emerged soybeans, that type of thing. Right now, I'm not. And then additionally, just the soil is so much warmer than where we are, say, in the fall or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I'm just feeling pretty comfortable with it right now.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And June 12th, that's the day you're gone, right, Bridget? To the ag?
Yeah, I will be at Cultivate.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So June 12th, we will have, I asked Gary Lezak if he wanted to come on and talk about the LRC. So Gary will be joining us. So mark that on your calendar if you want. And I know we'll be talking about what the rest of the summer looks like in terms of are we going to see drought conditions? Are we going to see a ease in the drought conditions? I think it's safe to say we've already seen an ease in the drought conditions out west. But will that continue through the rest of the summer? So if you have any questions for Gary, be sure to join us on June 12th on that day as well. So I'm sure there will be a few questions.
You know, interesting enough, I had a conversation with a farmer in Iowa here probably last week, and he subscribes to the LRC because he follows our show and has thought that this would be a really great weather app for him to use. And he said, you know, as I watched all sorts of other meteorologists, whether those who are really heavily focused in agriculture because they are the meteorologists for certain large companies or for certain weather organizations that primarily focus in ag, he said they all were having a fit over drought conditions, on and on and on. But he said the LRC wasn't like that. And so at the very least, I found it was a really great balance to see what the extremes were. And then so I could figure out where I was somewhere in the middle. And he said the LRC has proven to me once again that we have much more accuracy. And again, that's from a farmer friend down in Iowa who just felt that this was a solid piece of information for him to use when it comes to some of his planning and
good.
So forth.
Good deal. And, you know, and Bridget, you know as well as I do, we're seeing more and more in our ag community using the LRC, and it definitely does benefit them. So, and again, if you're new to us or just tuning in, the LRC is a long-range forecasting tool, which is proven to be 80% to 90% accurate 6 months in advance. So it really helps in terms of when are these storms going to roll in. I'll give you an example. This storm rolling through now, we're on about a 41-day cycle, give or take a day. This will be back in about 41 days. And so you can mark your calendar, we're looking at the end of June, right around that time frame where this system comes back. Yeah. And now it gave the western part of the state quite a bit of rainfall. And as we get deeper into the summer, that jet stream pulls north. So more than likely, the heavier rains will shift north. But the severe weather that hit areas of Minnesota and Wisconsin yesterday, that will shift northward as well. So we might be in a more of a severe weather threat as the system comes back in the cycle in about 41 days. So that's, you know.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bridget.
Well, I was just going to say, but aside from what could be strong weather, just remember to celebrate the fun things. And May is beef month. So
yes.
In between the rain, fire up the grill.
Now I know what I'm having for dinner. I was trying to figure out, all right, do I want chicken or steak? It's steak.
Nope, steak.
It's beef month. Yep, absolutely.
And beef can help to elevate your feelings, make you feel a little bit better about your day if you're having a bad one, because May is also a focus on mental health. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. So while you've got this downtime during a rainstorm, take a little break, a breather, maybe get away if you can and have a little less stress.
All right. And for Bridget, myself, want to thank everybody for joining us. Don't go anywhere. Jay Thomas Show is coming up next. Have a great weekend.